right, so the topic is transformation, which I found to be just a, wow, where do you go? I mean, there's like infinite directions I could have gone with that term. But to me, it's a change. And so we're looking at personal transformation. I think that's probably the most meaningful place to start.
Can I interrupt just a minute?
Yeah.
Can we say what our theme is for the year? Because some people haven't been here this year yet.
Go ahead.
Our theme for this year is becoming human angels, experiencing the divine in everyday life. And so we're using the angel card set and the qualities of the angels as our inspirations for the talk. So the angel that Jen's talking about today is the angel of transformation. And thanks for just letting me lay the groundwork there.
I'm so glad you laid the groundwork, because that's another synchronicity, because I'd kind of forgotten that. But you'll see later on in my talk why that is just like another in-my-face synchronicity that I love, I love, I love. So when I first thought of the topic of transformation in my own life, as probably with most people, unless you're just really blessed or highly evolved, most of the transformation that's taken place, the change, the growth, has come from painful experiences. And, you know, I see some people nodding, yes, I relate. It does seem to be the human experience. And for a while now, I've been saying, okay, you know, I understand that that's one way, and I want to choose to transform through love, peace, and joy. You know, that's my intention. And so, but I will say that part of the transformation through pain, I mean, to make the painful experience meaningful, is to find the blessing in it. Because I do believe there is a blessing in all experience, and if we can find the blessing in the painful experience, then it really transforms it. And actually can transcend the experience, which is huge. I mean, then it's like we went through this uncomfortable pain, however you want to label it, for good reason. If there's a good reason to go through it, then I'm like, okay, I can be okay with it. I still want to transform the other way with the love, peace, and joy, but. So preparing for this talk was very interesting this time, since the retreat that I had a few weeks ago where the theme was go with the flow. I'm really trying to live that way. And so, like 2 days after I had been reminded about the theme, I picked up a book by Marianne Williamson, The Age of Miracles. And she asked the question, what is the how-to of personal transformation? So it's kind of like, okay, seems to be I'm on track here. So she answers the question this way. The path to right living is walked one moment at a time. We are transformed in our hearts by mere belief, because belief isn't of the heart. The heart's transformation is not attained through the mind. It's attained through surrender, authenticity, forgiveness, faith, honesty, acceptance, vulnerability, humility, willingness, and non-judgment. And there's probably, you know, more. And that these qualities are learned and relearned continuously. She goes on to say that in A Course in Miracles, it says, it's not up to us what we learn, but whether we learn through joy or through pain. And I was like, all right. You know what, I'm being affirmed here, that we do have a choice. And I'm grateful, you know, that she believes that, and that she's letting everyone else know that. She goes on to say, growing old just happens. Growing wise is something else, again. And by the by a certain point in our lives, and she's referring a lot to midlife here, but, you know, I think that doesn't matter so much. By a certain point in life, most of us have been hurt and disappointed. We have had dreams die and find it hard to forgive ourselves or others. The challenge of age is not to skip life's disappointments, but to transcend them and come out on the other side prepared to create, with God's help, a new life. And so that's where the blessing is, you know, to come out on the other side, to see the blessing, that the challenge transforms us, for me, the pain is, it's sort of a force, it's sort of a push to grow. There again, that's not the joyful experience I'm looking for, but it is there, the blessing is there. So to transcend means to go beyond, to find the blessing, to let it be okay. You know, there's a level of acceptance in that. There's a level of vulnerability in that. And that's just, that's the gift. So transcending the pain, I think that's one way to transform. And if we can find the blessing, you know, then we're opening, then our hearts are opening. And when our heart's opening, there's greater possibility for the love, peace, and joy to rush in, to fill us up. Part of, I think, what happens if we move through the challenge with this transformation, with this transcending the experience, is that we end up remembering more who we are. That if we can remember that we are this spiritual being, that then we can see a bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, again, if we look at the challenge in the bigger picture, it becomes small, or it becomes more meaningful. You know, a lot of times they say with a challenge, if you think about it, and how will you reflect on it a year from now or 5 years from now? And it will be oftentimes nothing, or not as big as it feels in the moment anyway. So looking at the big picture can really help us to transcend and transform. So some of the things that I'd like to transform in my own life, in my kind of my belief system, is around the feelings of less than. I would say they're coming up less than. Which is really good, really good. I'm so grateful. Because when you're in that, when I'm in that less than position, there's so little power there. And that's all, you know, stuff that comes from childhood. I'm also wanting to transform the belief about lack, especially around people that do spiritual work. That means you live in poverty. No, I don't think that's the idea. That the bigger picture, you know, the people that do spiritual work. To me, it's some of the most important work there is. So, of course, they should be compensated. They should be honored and live a comfortable life. I mean, that just makes sense. So, I have a list of things that transform me, and in a positive way. So, I'm moving into, you know, the things that bring me joy, and these can be really just simple, small things. And I said to Connie recently, I'm so easily entertained. You know, the smallest of things can just, I just get all excited and feel like it's a mystical experience. And a lot of that comes from nature. And I want you to remember this point about nature, because I'm going to ask you later. So I made a list, and like I said, some of these are common, simple things, but they have the potential to transform me in the moment. And if you think about, starting where you are and finding peace or inspiration or love or joy in the moment, and then if you can expand that moment to, 30 seconds, a minute, pretty soon, you've been in that space 5 minutes, and that there's a momentum that'll pull you into 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden, an hour's gone by and you've been in this really great place. There was a story about a woman who went out jogging in the morning, and she was out early. I'm not sure where she lived, but during her jog, there was a blue heron that she saw in flight, and she stopped and witnessed this incredible bird flying. And it just made her feel so blessed to be there right then to see that bird, to be in the right place at the right time to witness this incredible, beautiful sight. And so then she went on with her day, and she got to work and found out from her boss that there was a new deadline imposed to some project she was working on. And she came to that differently because of what she'd witnessed. It was like she could rise like that bird, and soar in spite of the pressure that she may have been under. She took it in a different way. She approached it in a different way as manageable. Okay, I can do this. Whereas her normal approach would have been, oh no, and get stressed and start worrying about it. So that's why I'm saying that these simple things that lift you in the moment can carry you later. So here's my list. Ice floating down the Potomac. This was when we were recently on retreat. Deer grazing on skyline that have no fear of people. A black rat snake showing up while on retreat right outside our cabin. A blue heron flying right in front of the cabin after we were meditating on nature. An elk doe eating wildflowers along the side of the road after Jim and I had drove around for at least 45 minutes trying to get a good view of elk. She was right there. She was, as close as Connie. She was right there. And we just pulled over and we just watched her eat those flowers. I mean, I was in heaven. Let's see. An owl flying by as Jim and I were hiking in Cook's Forest in Pennsylvania in the middle of the day and landing in a tree where we could see it. You don't see owls in the middle of the day. My totem. My totem. I am also transformed, and boy, this is the most powerful thing going on for me right now, with synchronicities. Here's a big one. A chance encounter with a man I asked to dance and later married. That would be Jim. Watching a rose quartz ball of Connie's fountain begin to roll when I first spoke of Archangel Gabriel on the last retreat. Just magical. The remark someone made about how he could talk to God that led a friend to recommend to me the book Conversations with God, which led me on this incredible journey into metaphysics. So to me, everything holds the possibility of transformation if we're willing to see it, to be awake and aware and follow the threads. That's what I have done for this talk. I just kept following the threads. Another thing that transforms me is when I hear other people talk about what transforms them, what inspires them. It's very contagious energy. It's a high frequency to be in an awareness of how you're being transformed, how you're willing to transform. So, another way to choose to transform is to have a vision. And you can have a vision for every area of your life. I know we've, over the years in the study group, visioning has been talked about, where you go into meditation and you open to a divine idea. And it's an idea that lights you up, that that causes you to feel emotionally lifted, inspired. And the way I've heard it described is it's an ideal experience that you want more than you fear change. And that's what transformation is change. And so the vision will, it requires you to change in some way. I mean, it may be just making time to focus on what you want. It may mean that you need to be trained or educated in doing or being whatever that vision is about. So there's different ways that it will cause you to transform, but it's some of the most powerful work because it pushes you out of your comfort zone. And it's funny because this was another little synchronicity in the Sunday paper, in the parade section. I'm trying to think of her name now. Degenerate. What's her first name? Ellen Degenerate was her. She was on the cover.
Degenerous.
Oh, Degenerous. Sorry about that. Sorry, Ellen. Thank you. She's hosting the Oscars, and the heading on the cover was, it's good to do things that scare you. And so she'd done it a number of years ago, and it really, I guess it was kind of a tough experience, stressful. And so she said she'd never do that again. But here she is, they asked her, and she said yes. And so that's what a vision will do. It opens up opportunities that in the past you might say, that's not me, or I don't think I want to do that. I mean, if I had followed and I'm going to call it the inner child, who wants to stay safe, you know, wants to be safe and secure, doesn't want to be in front of a group, doesn't want to be speaking publicly. You know, if I'd followed her fears, I wouldn't be here. And it's getting a lot easier. I'm so grateful. It's getting a lot easier. So having a vision will bring up stuff like that, but it's all a blessing to bring us to be who we came here to be. And that leads me to the next way to, it's tied into this next way of transforming, transcending. And it's a song that I just love by Daniel Lamod called Unbecoming. Unbecoming, to me, is a lot like what I talked about with a vision pulling you to be the person that you came here to be. And a lot of times that's sort of buried because of cultural influences. Not to blame anyone. It's not about blaming parents or society, but it's just the state of being human and living with other people that, they're there to influence. They're there to do what they think is best in the moment. And what they think is best may not always be for our best. And yet, there again, I'll find the blessing in it. You know, that if I was pushed in this direction and it wasn't for my best, it's going to bring me back around. So, I mean, I think, ultimately, the end result is guaranteed. It's more about how are we getting there? And are we getting there because of pain? And that, pain can get us there. And that is probably the more common way to get to where we need to be. And let's make it light. Let's choose joy. Let's choose peace. Let's choose love to get us where we want to go. So some of the things that came up for me In regards to the song, has to do with things that, like, for example, years ago, someone told me that no one was really happily married. And at the time, I believed it because I really didn't know anybody that I thought was, you know, truly, like, happily married. But then later, after I was divorced, I met a neighbor, Valerie, who she and her husband, Duard, had this incredible marriage. They were just the best of friends. And every year on their anniversary, they would renegotiate what was working and what wasn't. And, you know, decide what that year was going to be about, you know, what they were going to focus on. And it was just, it just felt like, wow, that's so evolved, you know, to really be present with your relationship and to love each other so much that you want to make it better and want to go to the next level, you know, whatever that means. Then I also made friends with a woman, Linda, who had an incredibly happy marriage. And she's the one that told me she would fall in love with Tom all over again periodically. And that just felt so good to me. It's like, wow. And I have had that experience. And I think anyone that's been in a long-term relationship has probably had that experience where, I don't know, there's a shift, something happens, or maybe you go through a tough time, and then the blessing. There's this shift. There's this opening of the hearts, and you see each other in a new way, or the depth takes you to a higher place. Isn't that interesting? The depth takes you higher. But so that was one of the untruths that I was told that I let go of. And I think the universe brought me those two women, you know, to prove, hey, that was not true. And I think it's real interesting how oftentimes it's the witnessing of someone else's life and someone demonstrating what's possible that allows us to shift our belief and say, okay, if they could do it, then I could do it. If they can have that, then why can't I? That has been a wonderful revelation for me. Now, the only downside to that is that if your vision is beyond what most people have experienced, then you really have to be brave. And you have to be the one that demonstrates what's possible for other people. And that's probably as good as it gets. Because then you're going beyond what most human experience has witnessed so far. Wow. All right, and we saw a lot of that. I didn't really keep up with the Olympics, but I know every time there's an Olympic event, you know, we witness somebody going beyond the record of before. And that, you know, the potential is to always go beyond what's been done, what's been felt, what's been experienced. I think some of the most transformative things to unbecome or untruths or lies are the ones that we tell ourselves, to let go of listening so much to what I call the little child. When I think of, you know, some people call it ego, but to me it feels so much softer to think of my, it's like my inner child that's trying to protect me, that wants to be safe. And so when I feel that, you know, that hesitation or the fear of doing something perhaps that I've never done before, or that doesn't feel real comfortable, like I'm really stretching outside my comfort zone, I think of that little child, and I hold her close and love her and let her know it's going to be okay. And that allows me to move into such a place of trust that the universe is listening. And the synchronicities are just, they will just come into your life in such a way that it feels magical. And that is what happened to me in the last few weeks. So let me see. And that's where, you know, following the intuitive guidance, following what I call following the thread, that's what it's become for me. It's like this thread. And so the... Let me just, because I have this quote in here, so let me read it. I'm going back a little bit. It's about when you witness someone else having a bad experience, making a mistake, making a fool of themselves, or something like that, and then you think, oh, that was awful to witness. I'll never do that. I'll never, you know, I won't make that mistake. Or maybe you have that own experience, you know, where you just feel like, oh, I just did not do well. This isn't for me. And yet, the opportunity keeps presenting itself. Einstein says, anyone who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new. And so to make mistakes is to be human. Mm-hmm. And I think that the mistakes are calling us to be compassionate for ourselves and love ourselves beyond the mistake and see the blessing in it. And that, you know, it's a way to learn. So following the thread, I started following a thread when I was preparing for the last retreat, and the theme was water. And when I looked on Wikipedia about water, there I found out that there are archangels assigned to all the different elements. And I just thought that was fascinating. That was something I had no awareness of. And the archangel for water is Gabriel. And I had a synchronicity last night watching a television show. This is a show about a ranch in Australia run by women. And It doesn't have like metaphysical themes or anything. But last night, the show that I watched had a new character named Gabe. And as soon as I saw him, because of the way he was just like this beautiful man and very, you know, very calm, and he could like see into their souls. And I said to Jim, I said, he's an angel. And I was right. He was an angel. But I mean, it was just like another synchronicity about the angels. So the angels are really coming up for me, and I've never like studied them or worked with them, and so I think I'm being called to look into that a little bit more. So I was laying in bed just recently, a couple nights ago, and I couldn't sleep, and I had this intuitive hit: Google archangel and transformation, since that's the theme of the talk. And sure enough, there is an archangel for transformation, Uriel. And Uriel, U-R-I-E-L. And I think that if you, so then I had a friend that's been decluttering his house, and so I put in archangel declutter. Sure enough, there's an archangel for decluttering.
Who's that?
Yeah, who's that?
We all need that one.
I think it's Chamuel. Chamuel, but I have a sheet that might help you with that. But so just for fun, you might just Google, you know, if there's any challenge going on in your life, Google the challenge and an archangel and see if you don't get something, because I think there is one for every human challenge. That is my belief. So the thread led me to getting the Doreen Virtue's book, Archangels 101. And so then I, so here's the archangel for transformation is Uriel, and that means the light of God. And this angel is often depicted holding a lantern, so, you know, like illuminating the problem, the situation. It's also known as the intellectual, and I say it because they really aren't gendered, although it's most people call the archangels he, but from what I'm looking at, most of the pictures are women. So I mean, it's kind of very interesting, very interesting. He's called the intellectual archangel. He helps to focus our minds, to receive all the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we need. Illumines our minds with information, ideas, epiphanies, and insights, and that's what helps us to transform. So it's wonderful to call on this angel if you need a solution about anything. And the interesting thing about angels is that Doreen says is you have to call on them. They won't intervene unless you ask. They won't interfere. But if you ask, they will help you. So let's see. So at the end of, there's more I could tell you, but I think you get the gist of it. So at the end of the book, the Archangels 101, there was a section where she associates archangels with the astrological signs. And there again, I had never heard of this. So I went to mine. Okay, so now I want you to remember what I told you to remember. Do you remember what I asked you to remember?
Nature.
So anybody that knows me, yay! Anybody that knows me knows that nature, I love nature. You know, I'm telling people, get out in nature, you know, it changes you, lights you up, there's beauty and wonder, and you know, I'm just a fanatic with nature. So the archangel that oversees my sign, which is Aries, is Ariel, which means the lion or lioness of God. I adore cats. And is known as the overseer of nature. I had to call up Connie. I said, Connie, you're not going to believe this. I mean, I couldn't believe it. So I do have the list for you to look and see if you know, anything resonates. Because, boy, this one just resonated with me in an unbelievable way. So Doreen starts each chapter of each archangel with a prayer. And so this is the prayer for Ariel. Dear Archangel Ariel, please help me connect with the healing power and spirit of nature. So the other little synchronicity that I want to share, and I know we'll take a break here in just a minute. When it talked about historically how these angels come up, Shakespeare portrays this angel of Ariel as a tree sprite, which is an elf or a fairy. And on the retreat back in November, which had a Native American theme, we did this spirit drumming where everyone was supposed to, as you're drumming, you know, let some kind of animal come to you that could be guidance. Well, I didn't get an animal. I got a tree. Mm-hmm. And one more little synchronicity. My last name, Fay, means fairy. So do you see why I'm just like following the thread, listening to the inner guidance? It can make your life just so magical. I'm just one after another. It just lifts me up, and I get so excited. And again, you know, some of these things seem silly or is it common? But if you allow the perspective to be, wow, this is guidance, this has meaning. You know, everything in life, we give the meaning that it has. We give it that meaning. And so I'm giving these little threads such meaning. And I'm feeling so happy and so good. So, let me see, I think I'm done. All right, closing. So we can transform a number of ways. We can find the blessing in of the painful experience. We can transcend it. We can hold a vision that pulls us into being more, allows us to step outside of our comfort zone. helping us discover who we are by unbecoming. And we can call on the angels, because I think I'm learning that there is this entity, there is these entities that truly are there to help us. And whether you believe in the entity or just believe in the idea of asking for help, whatever it is, I think it works. It's prayer. It's a prayer request, you know? So thank you all. Namaste.
Namaste.